from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Stand.
A swing and a fly ball down the long run for Reynolds. Cruz goes back on it, and he gets in Reynolds' way, and that's going to allow a run to score. What's Cruz doing? That's not his ball. Then he throws it away. What is he doing? And Alvarez stands at third. That should have ended the inning. Instead, another run is in on another Cruz error, and a man's at third base.
Was there any thought to maybe sit him down when he's pressing like that? Or
no? I mean, it's a major league player that's got to get through it. And, you know, because of the fact, I think, like you pointed out, he can change the game, especially in this ballpark. I mean, you can flick a ball, mishit a ball to left field with his power, and it goes out. And, again, you know, defensively he had a couple tough innings, and then he came back and actually made a couple tough plays on the backhands later in the game.
Oi, you got Woodford, who pitches his ass off. And I'm not sure he has better stuff than Callis does. He should have gone 5 innings. He should have given up no runs. But he gives up 3 runs. And all of them should be charged to O'Neill Cruz. I had not heard the Joe Block reaction.
Neither have I.
We had heard the Greg Brown reaction. And Greg was clearly annoyed with Cruz. Brian Reynolds on the field, clearly annoyed with O'Neill Cruz. Joe Block, really annoyed with O'Neill Cruz, and we all should be. O'Neill Cruz yesterday goes 0-for-4, and he had a really dreadful series at the plate. He had 5 errors in the series, 2 on that one particular play, 3 in last night's game. They should have walked out of Houston, 3 up, no down, but instead, it's great to take 2 out of 3, but not when there was more on the table. And so the obvious question I throw to you, the listener, and to you, Doran, and to you, Nicholas Harry Callis, at 412-928-9370, should Derek Shelton have pulled him from the game? Should Derek Shelton sit him down for game 1 of the series coming up against the Arizona Diamondbacks?
I don't know if you'll go that far. You know, just like Shelton did say, like, you need him to play through that. If you sit him down, then you might lose his confidence, like, in a major way. But that whole play, like, to me, there were people out there trying to justify that Cruz, and I understand, like, he was pressing. Like, he wanted to make a play. He wants to make a big play because he's been struggling. He wants to break through that. But people were trying to justify of him running to the outfield and trying to get that ball and saying that Brian Reynolds' mouth never moved. I'm like, first of all, like, it's a TV copy. It's like you're watching the TV. You don't know what's going on. And second of all, just like Shelton said, he's a professional baseball player. I don't care if Brian Reynolds' mouth moved or not. Everybody knows where that ball was hit, where it was going to drop, that it was Brian Reynolds' ball.
A routine can of corn to your left fielder.
You don't need to communicate that. You know that. He knows that.
The shortstop shouldn't be within 10 feet of the play.
Shouldn't be within 10 feet. I mean, he ran how many yards? 20? 20-some yards?
He was flying out there, too. He flies into I wouldn't even say shallow depth left field. He's halfway to the freaking Crawford boxes.
It was mind-boggling that that play ended up really losing the game, and obviously the throw after the error after. Then he had the error before that. I mean, this is all on O'Neal Cruz. I do understand that there are people that want to see him sat down or even in that moment or after that moment be sat down. But I think you would risk the confidence thing with him, and you need to keep his confidence high, especially heading into a big series coming back home. So I agree that they didn't sit him down, but if I was his teammate, I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed.
There's no question about that. And it seemed to be that Brian Reynolds was. Again, just looking at the TV copy, but Reynolds was muttering to himself the rest of that inning, and then he went out there to left field, and they cut to him again, and he's talking to himself. Reynolds had to be ticked. Woodford Reserve, I don't even remember the guy's first name already. Jared, what the hell is his name?
Jake.
That's the zapping sound effect when I get a name wrong?
Yeah.
That right there? It sounds like someone
hitting a top of a aluminum garbage can.
Yeah, like Stomp.
Yes.
Did you ever watch Stomp back in the 90s? Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. They'd have like the trash can lit. Yeah. Right after Mr. Rogers on PBS, you get Stomp. Look at what that guy's doing with his shoelaces. That is what that sounds like. Or someone pulling out the Reynolds wrap to put over their steak to keep it warm or something. So Jake Woodford goes out and pitches his butt off, and he did not emote because he knows his standing on this team, and he's probably going to be up here for a cup of coffee. So he's probably internally screaming because this is his chance, and O'Neal Cruz kind of screwed him. He screwed the team, and they should have and would have won the game if he just plays a clean game defensively, even though he gave nothing with the bat. Again, 0 for 4. They would have absolutely won the game if he just plays a clean game. If he only has the one error and not that debacle, they win the game. So any and all criticism of O'Neal Cruz, in my opinion, is 100% warranted. However, I can't get on board with sitting him down. I can't. O'Neal Cruz in July has been very, very, very good. He was starting to look like the guy that we think he can be consistently. 284 in July. 337 on base percentage, which for him is good. 580 slugging percentage with a 917 OPS, an OPS plus a 145, five homers. He had been playing really, really well up until this series. This isn't the 27 Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give Lou Gehrig a day off. Or you can give Lou Gehrig a day off.
Right.
Like, oh, I don't know, Babe Ruth, he had too many hot dogs last night. We're still going to score 9 runs tomorrow. This team can't cut off its nose to spite its face in the middle of a playoff race. They are now 2.5 games back of a wild card spot. You've got like 3 legitimate bats on a given night. He's one of them. You can't bench him.
No.
You can't. And so I think it's incumbent upon Derek Shelton not to get into his face, because I don't know that O'Neal's the kind of guy who responds to that. He's a jovial guy. He seems to have a ton of fun with baseball. I do think confidence can wane with him. In like an Evgeny Malkin way, where he knows he's great, but even the greatest of the greats, sometimes they don't have the confidence, and the game gets too fast for them. I don't think you get in his face. I think you put your arm around him, and you say, O'Neal, take a deep breath, man. Slow it down. And I saw some tweets to this effect. Apparently, on Sportsnet Pittsburgh after the game, they showed some clubhouse footage, and Rowdy Tellez went over and put his arm around O'Neal and talked to him. That's a good teammate move. I think it needs to be on the manager just to say, hey, calm down. And then I think his teammates need to say, O'Neal, you're so good, man. We need you. And you just need to play within yourself.
Right.
I think that's how you handle this kind of thing.
You're absolutely right. I mean, and you're right about the confidence thing, too. I don't think he's a get in your face and then respond type of guy. Like, he needs that arm around, and then he will realize, like, he was pressing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was trying to get out of it. And there's a piece of me, and I think a piece of us, that it's like, I'm actually okay with that, because it looks like he is trying, at least. You know, he wants to be better. He wants to get through. He wants to be a part of the team. He wants to be a part of winning, and he wants to contribute. So, like, a little bit of me is like, it's in a weird space. Like, I'm okay with him pressing, because that shows that he wants to be involved. But at the same time, there's a fine line with doing that. There's a fine line with overstepping that line. And he did that yesterday. And hopefully that's a learning lesson. And moving forward, that'll never happen. That's where successful players and successful teams, that's how they get to the next level, is whenever there is a mistake, don't let that happen again.
Yes.
Don't let that happen again.
Now, it has been something that we've seen with O'Neal. And so it has repeated itself. So I get, especially emotionally in the moment, when people fire off their tweets, you got to bench this guy. I do get it. We are Pirates fans watching a team that we think got a shot to do something here. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you do get into his face and you use the word pressing, I think he might press more.
Yep.
And I think it could spiral. And I don't think you can afford to lose O'Neal Cruz for a week or two. I don't think you can afford to lose O'Neal Cruz from a mental standpoint for a couple of games. You're so tight. Every team you're playing, you're battling for playoff position with. Like, here come the Diamondbacks. Again, you lost 2 out of 3 against them. You got to win the series at home. You need O'Neal to be locked in. And I think if you were to pull him and he's off tomorrow, or today, excuse me, because everyone's off, and then he doesn't play game one, I think you run the risk of screwing with the guy. And I don't think you can win that way.
Mm-mm.
Tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. What do you think Derek Shelton should do? Do you think O'Neal should have been benched? Do you think that O'Neal should not play in Game 1 of the Diamondback Series? 412-928-9370. That's on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Long term, does he belong at shortstop? We can get into that a little bit coming up as well. So your calls, your reaction to Cruz, and we'll get into that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Yeah, it looked like he was trying to go a little bit too fast today. And, you know, sometimes that happens with young players, and he was trying to create a little bit too much. And, you know, I was proud of him because later in the game he had a couple tough backhand plays that he stayed with. He just had a couple, you know, tough innings.
A little bit, you know, it just one of those days that you try to do too much to help the team, and you know, it just days like that will happen.
Derek Shelton on O'Neill Cruz, and then O'Neill Cruz through a translator talking about his three-error performance. Sometimes you'll have days like this. Yeah, but you're in a pennant race. And sometimes you are going to throw a ball away. I don't generally mind physical errors. Like if a ball boots off your glove, okay, it's going to happen. Bad bounce. Or from time to time you do throw a ball away. You're human. The best players will sometimes throw a ball away. It's the mental stuff that drives me nuts. And I think drives a lot of people nuts. In no world should he be venturing out to left field to try to catch that pop-up. He knows better than that. Rushing a throw early, while it sucks, while it's annoying, while it leads directly to a run, I'm not saying that you live with it, you need to get better, but I'm more okay with that than the running out to left field and then the compounding of the problem. You make one mistake, and so you try to make up for the mistake, and you make another mental mistake, and you throw the ball away. That's the kind of thing that rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and this has kind of been the thing about O'Neill Cruz as well. I mean, starting from the beginning of the season, and then, you know, as the months went on, we've talked about, like, is he intellectually, you know, a part of the baseball playing at this level? Is he ready yet? Does he know the game? Does he know situations? And, you know, that's always been a discussion for us, and it seemed like he was on to something. And right after the All-Star break. And we're like, okay, is this the time where O'Neill Cruz transitions into that big-time player that we expect him to be? Physically, he has done that most of the time. I mean, this series was tough for him, but I still don't know about the mental stuff. And I still don't know about the situational baseball stuff. And to, you know, do the right things and not cost your team and not make it look like, okay, it's about me. And I'm not saying that he's making it look like he's not a team player. But at times, it seems like the team is not there, and it's just about O'Neill Cruz.
Mm.
Can he grow out of that? Can that – and I'm not saying grow out of that next year. I'm saying today.
Yeah.
Because it has to happen today.
It has to happen.
You can't have that. I mean, you if you want to get to a playoff, the playoffs, like, you cannot have things like that happen because that legitimately – lost you the game.
Yes.
You can't let stuff like that happen. So if you're Shelton, if you're his teammates, like, you have to either put your arm around them. You guys, they know him better than we do, but better than anybody. Figure out a way to make sure his mind is right and locked in every single game.
Yes. That seems to be the issue, is a focus kind of deal. And I don't think he'd be my shortstop next year. I don't think you can make that move now. I don't think you put him in the outfield now. I don't think you try him at first base now. I don't think you demote him to DH now because you need as many competent bats in the lineup as possible, and so Andrew McCutchen has to, by that virtue, be your DH. But this offseason, I'm considering all my options for him.
What are those options?
First base, right field.
Okay.
And you brought up a good point prior to the show. At first base, you do feel like the arm would go to waste.
Yes.
So in the outfield, when he can throw the ball 100 miles an hour, we've seen his relay throws this year. That's the thing about Cruz. He's so talented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's going out there and trying to make that play in left field. A lot of shortstop in Major League Baseball aren't getting there the way
right.
he got there.
Right.
And so because he can, he thinks he should, but that doesn't always mean you should. For the rest of the season, he's a shortstop. But IKF can play shortstop at a high level. He can play second at a high level. He can play third at a high level. Maybe he's your shortstop next year. But I think O'Neill Cruz might not be. He's now tied for the league lead in errors. And while the bat is plus, 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 and especially this last month up until this series, he's been great, I think that bat would still profile at a corner spot. And I think I'm looking for that next year.
And just like you said, we talked about this before, like, you have such a raw talent and a raw athlete that has the attributes that you want for just a general athlete, the speed, the size, the strength. Like, you cannot let that go to waste if you want to get the most out of him. But, like, if you're going to move positions, it would have to be the outfield, because if you move him to first base, the speed will go away. You don't need the, you're not
yeah.
utilizing everything that he is actually
right.
good at. So if he's in right field, he can show off his arm. He can gun guys down. He can run balls down. Communication may you know, we have to work on that, obviously. But I've said this for months. Like, even coming back from the injury, try him in right field. That's what I was like, try him in right field so he can just understand the game. I wasn't even saying like just move him there. I'm saying, hey, play him in right field a little bit at first, just so he understands what's going on in the outfield. Just so he understands that, okay, this is what they're thinking whenever they do cut off.
In spring
training. Like, play him at all the positions so he starts to understand the game. So he understands that, oh, that is Brian Reynolds' ball. Like, maybe he doesn't really think of that stuff because he doesn't know what's going through Brian Reynolds' mind. I think he's a guy that, and honestly, in spring training, try him out at multiple positions just so he can learn and understand what's going on to those positions. He's just so singly focused on hitting and shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Play him everywhere.
Yeah, and you've talked about that from your own experience.
Yes.
Playing wide receiver, playing tight end. You got to see the field different ways, different responsibilities, and then it helps you fully understand
what's going on, mm-hmm. and the rhyme or reason of things that are going on, and the different communications, and why guys are doing certain things. And if you are raw and young, and maybe we're wrong. Maybe he does know the game, and he just has lapses.
Just tried to do too much because he has a lapse, yeah.
But if he doesn't really fully understand the game, that is an easier way and process to get him to understand the game better.
I was listening to a quarterback that was at the Manning Passing Academy this summer, and one of the things that they do at the Manning Passing Academy is they have all the quarterbacks throw to the other quarterbacks. And so you're trying to understand a route running concept or this or that, so that when you are playing quarterback, you're understanding what your guys are trying to do out there. So I get exactly what you're saying, and I don't think the time for it is in season, particularly in a pennant race. If they fell out of it, sure, play them in right field. I don't think that they will, but spring training, for sure. For sure. Get him in right. Get him a first baseman's mitt. And if he plays well at either of those positions, fine. I'd rather him be in the outfield. And then, at worst, if he just has a better understanding of the game, okay.
All right.
Then you take that. Phil in Verona, first up today. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning. I agree with you guys about not setting Cruz down and maybe go on the right field. But what I'd rather sit down is the blind squirrel. We have a blind squirrel in our backyard, and every now and then he gets an acorn, and we clap for him. Derek Shelton from day one has been a joke. The first game of the season, three guys thrown out at home in the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and they still win.
A lot of that is the third base coach. But Phil, let me ask you this:
I mean the coaching staff, the blind squirrel and the other coaching staff. It's horrible.
Do you think this is a good roster, Phil?
It's a better roster if you play small ball in the bottom of the lineup. They continually let people hit in the double plays. And last night when Reynolds got on, I'm okay, pull Feliz back. Don't let him hit in the double play. Bunt the guy. If you don't want Joe the bat, bunt him. Try that. A bunt is better. A failed bunt is better than a double play. And we've done that consistently in the bottom of the lineup. Last night was a bit different, but I would have pulled Feliz back. The guy pitches 66 pitches. He's doing great. We got to take him out. It's just ridiculous. And the blind squirrel might be a nice guy, but I hope he just rubs his beard on some other team somewhere else later.
Thank you, Phil. Guys. Telez would be the name he's trying to say.
I could not make out what he was trying to say.
Rowdy Telez.
Telez.
I just can't imagine watching that game last night and coming away from the game going, Derek Shelton cost them.
Yeah, no.
O'Neill Cruz made two errors on one play. Connor Joe had a chance to catch a foul ball and didn't. Now, I realized that Woodford Reserve got the strikeout immediately after it, but it was a poor fundamental baseball game from the Pirates, and I can't always put that on the manager. When you ask a guy to bunt and he can't put it down, I don't put that always on the manager either. Now, there have been situations where they should have bunted and haven't, and you can nitpick managers all the time. I've come around on Derek Shelton. I think he's largely done a pretty good job this year. And I know people were actually criticizing him on Twitter last night, Shelton, for going to Colin Holderman when they did, and Holderman gave up the home run. I actually thought that was the right move. Like, to go to Holderman early because you understand the gravity of the situation, and Holderman's been so good this year. The expectation is that he's going to be the Holderman that we're used to, a great pitcher. And he gives up a bomb. I don't blame Shelton for that.
Mm-hmm.
I blame the player for that more than anything else. That's a surprising call to lead us off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Derek Shelton, go rub your beard on another franchise, brother. O'Neal Cruz had three errors and went 0 for 4. Not the manager's fault. Come on now. And there seems to be this assumption, too, that if Derek Shelton did yank O'Neal Cruz or did bench him for the upcoming game against Arizona on Friday, that it would work. I'm not so sure that it would. I, in fact, think it could be detrimental to the
Same
cause.
Here.
So I don't put O'Neal Cruz making mistakes on the manager either. I'm sure that they've had conversations with him like, hey, that's Brian Reynolds' ball.
He knows that.
Yes! That's like when a guy can't field a punt that. and you blame Mike Tomlin.
Right.
Like, there's room for criticism of managers and coaches, but sometimes it goes a little bit too far. Guys got to go out there and perform.
Yeah.
And your best players have to go out there and perform. And last night, O'Neal Cruz did not.
And perform in a smart manner.
Mm-hmm. Because last night, I think you need to play like a road game in hockey. Dump the puck in. Stay on the right side of the puck. Block shots. Take the crowd out of it. Like, that's the kind of effort they needed last night. Stay within yourselves because you've got this 4A pitcher on the mound. And don't try to do too much. Just make the routine plays the way that he was pitching for you. You win that game, you get away with one, and then you're set up for your three best pitchers to go in this Arizona series. And O'Neal Cruz tried to do too much.
Yep.
412-928-9370. A lot of callers on the line. We'll get to you. It is 6:31. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. How damaging a loss was it last night? We'll get into that, plus your calls when we return. It just hit me that we got football tonight, right? We talked about that already in the pre-show. We have meaningful college football this month.
Oh, yeah.
It is August 1st.
I mean, what, the 23rd, maybe? 24th?
Uh-huh.
The week before the actual season opens up, there's some games.
Week zero, yeah.
Florida State, maybe?
Florida State, Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Which Georgia Tech doesn't do the triple option anymore, and it just screws with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, they're five wide, they're drop back pass. What the hell's going on with Georgia Tech? But Pitt, Penn State, West Virginia will all play on August 31st. So, folks, we have made it. And perhaps the Pirates will still be in the pennant race when those games are played. It would be a massive disappointment if they're not. I feel like last night's game, because of the way it played out, was a massive disappointment. I went into it, honestly, man, and I don't know that we even talked about it yesterday because we were doing more reaction to the deadline and reaction to the Steelers' first day in pads, but I didn't feel good about the game. How could I? They have Frander Valdez. I'm going to hit the thing. I'm going to hit it. So that's two, right?
That's two.
Two name flubs for me.
That's two. I was looking at Callis. Mm-hmm. His head was down.
Yeah, two name flubs for me. You had Framber Valdez on the mound, who's really good, and you had some guy that was so bad that he got annexed from the worst team I've ever seen, the Chicago White Sox. So I didn't feel good about it. And I thought, okay, you took two out of three. You want to see what Brian De La Cruz can bring to the lineup. That's what I'm watching for. And maybe you can steal one. But if you don't, no big deal, no harm, no foul. You win two out of three. You even up the road trip. You're 3-3 after starting 4-2 after the All-Star break. You can live with that. But then the way it transpired, my mind totally shifted. You get a 4-0 lead with this pitching staff. You need to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we want to look at a positive, I think that with Brian De La Cruz in the lineup, you could see how good. Like, I believe that if they were to win the game, it would have been because of him-ish. Because that first hit was the first hit of the game. And then that led to Joey Bart. Like, and then you see what could transpire. Like, he can grab that momentum for you, and then if you have somebody that's insignificant, that is significant behind him, that could actually get some pop, you can see how that could transpire. He had two hits yesterday.
Yes, he did.
I mean, listen, like, you're traveling. It's a different team. It's emotional. You're going through all these things, and I'm not making excuses for players, but it has to be tough whenever you get traded on one day, and then the next day you're playing for a different team and having to learn systems and people and signs and signals, and then you go out there and you get a hit and to lead off the game. the first hit, and then you grab that momentum of guys hitting after that. I mean, I think that there was like three or four hits after his first hit.
Yeah, it really got that ball rolling in that inning.
That's something, if you want to look at something positive, that's something that the Pirates have been missing, and you have a guy that could do that right away. I know he struck out, I think, twice, but he ended up having another hit later on in the game.
Yeah, and he's going to do that. He's a strikeout machine, but he goes 2-for-4, and Pirates have hit some solo homers this year because they don't get on base. But he got on base, and then you get a 2-run shot from Joey Bart. In the lineup, you can see how it's going to be lengthened. I said yesterday on the show, this I do remember, you're never going to have to see Connor Joe in the 3 spot again. And then Connor Joe, of course, was batting 3rd. But IKF is going to lengthen that lineup for you. And Brian De La Cruz is going to lengthen the lineup for you. You're right. That is a silver lining to take out of yesterday's game.
And also, he looks exactly like Edward Olivares. Like, they could be identical twins.
They are similar players, too.
Right. It's like, crazy. Their like, face.
Edward Olivares last season, Michael A. Taylor last season, had good enough years where if they did what they did last year, you wouldn't have Brian De La Cruz right now. So hopefully he's a streaky guy. Hopefully you catch him on a heater right now. But early return's good for that guy. So you're right. We don't want to only point out the negatives. And I do think we should point out that Woodford Reserve was outstanding given the expectation level.
Yeah.
But because he was outstanding, because they had a 4-0 lead, while I would have been satisfied with 2 out of 3 from the Astros in a tough place to play in a team that had been one of the hottest in all of baseball, now I walk away disappointed. I do. And because of this stat that was tweeted by Dan Zangrilli, did you see this? Pirates out-hit the Astros 9-4. 5-4 loss. Just the 5th loss when they out-hit opponents. They are 40-5 when they out-hit opponents.
Wow.
Pirates had won 13 of their past 14 games when scoring 4-plus runs. So that's a game that this team generally wins. Now, to take the positive, with Brian De La Cruz, with IKF, you have to feel like they're going to be scoring 4 runs or more often than they had been. And so while this was a tough pill to swallow, hopefully there are more offensive outbursts to come. Someone texted in at 412-928-9370, disagreeing with me backing Derek Shelton, putting Colin Holderman in the 6th, saying that Holderman hasn't really pitched well in the last 6 weeks. In his last performance, he gave up 2 home runs. Those things are true. You are right to point that out, Texter, at 412-928-9370. However, oddly, I am going to give Derek Shelton the benefit of the doubt when he sticks with guys in the roles that they're in.
Yeah.
He did it with Bednar when he could have moved off Bednar.
Yeah.
He did it with Chapman when he could have moved off Chapman. He's pushed, I think, more often than not, the right buttons as it relates to pitching. And so you're going to stick with a guy you trust in Colin Holderman, knowing that he's really good, and you're going to expect him to turn things around. So I had no problem with it for those reasons.
Mm-hmm. I was going to bring that up. Like, he hasn't been good as of late.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who else are you going to trust? Like, you're going to trust that guy's going to find it at some point because he is all around pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I mean, everybody has their slumps and, you know, gives things up. But I see where you're coming from of trusting him in that moment, even though he hasn't been good. You would trust more that he would find it than him to keep along giving up home runs, which he ended up doing, but I don't expect that to be a long-term thing.
Right, me neither, and you can't sit him down.
Right.
He's going to have to find it by pitching, and so if he didn't pitch in the 6th, he was going to pitch another high-leverage inning.
Right.
It would have been the 7th or 8th. Like, he's going to be in there when that game is tight one way or another. So you might disagree. He shouldn't have gone in the 6th. All right, if someone else had gone in the 6th, he's going in the 7th.
Right.
So I have no problem with it. I have a problem with the result. I don't have a problem necessarily at all, in fact, with the decision. Now, I thought that Beeks was good.
Mm-hmm.
He's funky, man.
Yeah. He has that little hitch at the top. Then he throws it.
Imagine being a lefty.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
Yeah, it is.
Oof. Real nasty. And I do think that that's how they should use him. He was the setup guy in Colorado, so he was pitching full innings. I think you want to be thoughtful if you know that the opposing lineup's got 2 lefties due up in the inning with a righty sandwiched in between. I think that's a perfect place for him. Have him face lefties the majority of the time. Did you hear what IKF said before the game?
I saw it. I saw the quote.
I'm in love with this guy already, Doran. So he was asked by, I believe, Alex Stump about going from the Blue Jays to the Pirates in the thick of a playoff chase. And he said, quote, I was coming back from the IL to try to win a batting title in the American League. So I think the mentality switches to winning a World Series now. Let's go.
Great mentality. Great mentality.
The Pirates and World Series mentioned in the same sentence. Now, that happened last year with Rich Hill when they got that 20-8 start. I think it was a little early for that kind of talk. But when you've got 50-some-odd games left and you are traded to a contender, I'm happy his eyes are on the prize.
You know what? And I'm willing to bet that that's not something that is a PR play either. I bet you that he and his teammates on the Blue Jays probably felt that about the Pirates as well, and probably other teams feel that about the Pirates. Like, hey, like, they're close. Look at this team. Look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, they're not bad. Like, if they get in, they have a chance. I'm sure that's the chatter around locker rooms and dugouts and clubhouses around the league, for sure. Like, I don't think that was just something he came up with on the moment while he's being interviewed because he is a Pirate. I think he's probably felt that for a long time this season.
Yeah, that these aren't your slightly older brothers Pirates. No, this is a team with promise and potential. And when you believe in your own abilities and you see that the Pirates are in the thick of it and then you come in, you think you might be able to be the piece to take them over the top. Oh, man, it's doing the thing again with this virus deal on my computer. I got to talk to the engineers. Got to clear the history first. He was also asked, IKF was, about his position versatility. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, I missed a month. And when you look at my metrics, I'm right up there with all the best in baseball, even with missing a month. This guy thinks very highly of his abilities and was voted basically the player of the team for Toronto in 3 of the last 4 years. Like the hustle guy, the heart and soul guy. His teammates seem to love him. He's got a lot of confidence in himself. I think he's going to be a massive, massive addition to the Pirates. Just looking at the stats from the last few years, looking at what he's done this year in a career year, and then hearing how he talks, I hope he suits up tomorrow. I hope he's in there. And there's a guy that I hope he replaces in the not-too-distant future. And we'll talk about that coming up next. A lot of football on today's show. Pat Bostick jumping on at 7 o'clock until 10. We'll have training camp coverage, and all of our training camp coverage is brought to you by Smale Kia and Guardian Caps and also Armstrong Business Solutions. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Big-time Adam Schefter bomb that we're going to get into at 7 o'clock with Pat Bostick. And Pat needs a favor out of me this weekend, and I told him, you show your ass up at 7. If you are late, you ain't getting me.
That's a good deal.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd hold firm on that. I like Pat too much.
I don't think that. I mean, I think that you're going to be in the win column, though. You could hold that over him. But I think that you'll show up.
I'll show up. I like Pat.
Do you think he's going to be on time, though?
No chance. No way. He's not here before 7:05 today. No chance. If he is, I'll give him an extra favor. I'll do two.
Don't.
Why do I do that to myself?
I don't know.
What a moron. So this IKF fella, I'm a big fan, hitting 292, wanted to win a batting title in the AL, says he changed his approach. Said in his career, he's always been a guy who's trying to go up the middle, and that has led to a lot of ground outs up the middle, to the pitcher, to the second baseman, to the shortstop. So he's changed his approach this year, and it's really worked for him. And he is just oozing with confidence. Even if he's a league average or below hitter, his defense is plus. And so we all know he's going to be Nick Gonzalez until Nick Gonzalez comes back. When Nick Gonzalez does come back, if everything goes according to plan with IKF, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Falefa.
Son of a mother bleeper. That's three.
Three.
We're not even at 7 o'clock, and I've had three mispronunciations.
It's been like 60 minutes.
That's why I call him IKF.
Mm-hmm.
If everything goes according to plan, if he is healthy and the player that they think that they acquired, he's my third baseman more often than not when Nick Gonzalez comes back, because he just can't do it anymore with Brian Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
Or excuse me, Key Brian Hayes. Mm-hmm. Does that count as one?
That counts, yes.
Mother, are you kidding me? Yes. That doesn't count.
Yes, it was. It was the wrong name. Everybody knew who you're talking about, and you couldn't say the right name.
Key Brian Hayes.
What if Ta'Brian Hayes somehow finds it and is playing decent, then what?
Because he has been a guy that when he finds it for a month or two. That's why he got paid. His first year, September, 30 games, was dynamite. Last year, 2 months, dynamite. I'm not seeing it from him right now, but you're right. It's not outside the realm of possibility. If he finds it, I think IKF is so positionally flexible that you're going to find a way to get him in the lineup every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if he continues to be the worst hitter in baseball, then IKF's my third baseman down the stretch. And he is the worst hitter in baseball.
Yes.
He has the lowest OPS among qualified players in the sport. That is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's a great defensive player. I understand that this team does not have the luxury, because of the way that their roster is constructed, to throw out one of the worst hitters in baseball game after game after game after game because of his glove. You can't do it. So if IKF comes up, plays really well, or even plays reasonably well with the bat, the second Nick Gonzalez comes back and Key Brian Hayes, if he doesn't turn it around, IKF's my third baseman.
I agree. I don't know if they agree, but I agree.
I don't know if they agree either, because they do value defense so much. And I could see them saying, we'll play IKF in the outfield, or we'll play him creatively throughout the line because we know he's going to give plus defense. Now we've got plus defense at multiple positions because Key Brian Hayes is going to be out there. They value defense. It's why Michael A. Taylor continued to get rolled out there mm-hmm. as often as he got rolled out there mm-hmm. because he's one of, if not the best defensive center fielders in baseball. I just don't think you can continue to put a guy out there who just kills you at the plate, and he did again in the eighth inning. You had first and second with two outs, and he bounces the ball to third. He makes so much soft contact. He bounces the ball all the time. I don't know if I can recall a right-handed hitter having as goofy, loopy a swing as Key Brian Hayes does. He does not hit the ball hard at all anymore.
Mm-mm.
And he'll go the opposite field now. Like, he started at least to do that, but he just lazy fly balls to the right fielder time after time after time. He is useless at the plate, man. And he's getting paid now the balance of $50 million the rest of his contract, which, you know, for other major league teams isn't a lot of money whenever he plays defense the way that he does, but the Pirates don't invest that way in just about anybody, and he has not lived up to the contract. He is a disgrace out there. And it's a shame to see, because I like the guy, and because he is so scintillating at third base, but do you ever expect him to do anything good when he comes to the plate?
No.
In a clutch situation?
I hope that he could find it like he did last year. I think it was against St. Louis. And then he kind of rode the season out. Like, I just hope that he could break through. I mean, he did have a hit last night, right?
He did, and he had a clutch hit the other day, but he also hit it 70 miles an hour, and I looked at that as more luck than anything else.
Right.
Just sort of got it off the end of the bat, and it found grass. Yeah, he's a big problem, and perhaps IKF is the solution there, but we're not going to see Nick Gonzalez for probably 3 weeks-ish, so you're going to have to live with what you got right now. And maybe not, though, because Jared Triola sort of turned it around a little bit. Jared Triola's family's been there this series. I think you need to bring his family with him to PNC Park.
Yeah.
It's like the father's trips with the Penguins. They always seem to score a whole bunch of goals.
Yeah.
Just bring his family with him back to PNC Park. All right, the clock now is on Pat Bostic. Will he make it by 7:05? If not, I'm not doing the favor that
Pat
I promised
Bostic,
him.
You are on the clock.
Adam Schefter with a report on the Steelers. And Adam Schefter doesn't make stuff up. We'll let you hear it. We'll react to it, maybe with Bostic coming up next. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.